And now, ladies and gentlemen,
a love song. She's a special lady. She's a tea party queen. Sweet as Marcia Brady, sane as Charlie Sheen. She doesn't like big government, so it's no surprise I can be her lover long as I downsize. My conservative girlfriend got a tiny little heart full of passion. My conservative girlfriend, every Friday we go liberal bashing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased and proud to say that she is here with us tonight. Won't you please welcome my conservative girlfriend, Michelle Bachman.
Returning to great speeches and interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice, I'm Steve Lerman. Coming up next, the radioactive risks from fracking waste. Matt Richman tells Steve Curwood, naturally radioactive rocks from above the Marcellus Shale in eastern U.S. can create a dangerous waste product.
Concerns about global warming aside, one reason the U.S. is not so eager to embrace the Keystone XL pipeline is the growth of its own energy production, as Sean McCarthy mentioned. Fracking is mostly driving the oil and gas boom in America, but that has its own environmental problems, including the natural radioactivity of the rocks that cover the Marcellus Shale in the eastern U.S. And the radioactive debris, or drill cuttings, left behind by fracking can contaminate water unless properly treated. And while New York State has a moratorium on fracking, it it does accept plenty of radioactive drilling waste from nearby Pennsylvania, and that has touched off an intense debate. Matt Richman reports for WSKG in the Allegheny Front and has the story.
All rocks have some radiation in them, but the Marcellus Shale is an unusually radioactive underground formation. A recent study found it's 3 times higher than in other rock layers. The element of greatest concern is radium, and that's what Larry Schilling has to watch out for.
The stuff with the plastic there, that is drill cuttings.
Schilling is vice president of Casella Waste Systems. The company operates the Chemung County Landfill, where piles of drill cuttings trucked in from Marcellus Shale wells in nearby Pennsylvania are scattered around the yard. The cuttings look like heaps of wet black sand wrapped in a black plastic liner. They are actually a mixture of rock cut through the gas-rich Marcellus Shale, fluids, called drilling mud, used to help bore the well, and liquids found deep underground. All this material comes up before a well is fracked. It doesn't include fracking chemicals. Schilling sits in a pickup truck at the landfill, watching trucks loaded with piles of dirt crawl by. They're not allowed to take cuttings that are too radioactive.
See this thing? It says Ludlam.
Schilling points out a pair of white tubes, each about 5 feet tall, sitting on posts at the entrance to the landfill.
So they pull up, they stop, and then as they drive onto the scales, it registers what radioactivity might be in it.
Schilling says they've never had a load of cuttings that exceeded acceptable levels of radiation enter the site. States in and around the fracking boom are working through what to do about all this naturally radioactive waste from drilling. Pennsylvania is conducting a study of radiation in the Marcellus Shale. West Virginia passed a law segregating drill cuttings from other parts of landfills. Casella wants New York state regulators to let the company take even more drill cuttings from Pennsylvania. But not everyone is convinced this landfill is taking sufficient precautions. Gary Abraham is an environmental lawyer in western New York, working to block Casella from expanding its landfills. Abraham says there's so much radiation in the deep shale rocks that it must inevitably be getting into landfills. He points to radioactivity readings taken by New York state regulators of the salty water found in the Marcellus Shale. This water, which comes up during and after fracking, is called brine.
The radioactivity of the brine is as high as 15,000 picocuries per liter. The background radiation at the surface of the earth in New York is about 1 picocurie per liter.
Schilling says while brine can be more radioactive, the cuttings are benign. In fact, says Schilling, testing they commissioned on the Marcellus showed very little radiation in the cuttings.
The highest reading we got from any of those four samples was 4.3 picocuries per gram, still under the cleanup standard that EPA set for cleaning up sites.
The difference? One is looking at the brine associated with the Marcellus Shale and raising the red flag. The other is just focused on the rock and giving the green light. The natural radiation in the Marcellus, particularly in the brine that comes out of it during and after fracking, is well established. Avner Vengosh is a geochemist at Duke University. He found radium in a Pennsylvania stream near a plant that processed fracking wastewater at 200 times background level. Vengosh says there's a risk that once the radium lock deep underground gets into streams and rivers, it will make its way into fish and eventually into people.
Radium is very similar to calcium, and as a result, it would accumulate in the bone and start radiation, which would lead to bone cancer.
The particular form of radium found in the shale, radium-226, has a half-life of more than 5,000 years. So basically, once it gets into the environment, it's there for good. Since contaminants started showing up in streams, Pennsylvania has tightened restrictions on the disposal of wastewater. But the treatment of solid waste at places like the Chemung County Landfill in New York concerns Vengosh.
Every contaminant that is being disposed into landfill, the solids are subject to numerous attack of acid and different chemicals, different solution within the landfill, and they creating what we call leachate.
Leachate, it's basically garbage tea. Anything that's in the landfill, like radium, can get into it. What happens to the leachate? It comes here.
We are at the Chemung County Sewer District on Lake Street in Elmira, and this is a 12 million gallon per day trickling filter plant.
The plant handles about 6 million gallons of wastewater a day. The landfill sends up to 30,000 gallons a day for treatment. Dan McGovern is the plant's chief operator. McGovern says they're only certified to do basic tests at their on-site lab. They can check for solids, pH levels, dissolved oxygen, and salts. But do they test for radium? McGovern says no.
That would have to be something that they would have to
test. They would have to actually send it out to a very sophisticated lab to test that, yes.
The treatment plant tests the water when it comes in and when it goes out. into the Chemung River, but never for radiation. Casella does a quarterly radiation test of its leachate. Results showed low levels of radium-226, but with each testing, there was a small increase. In New York, Marcellus Shale drill cuttings are exempted from the regulations governing low-level radioactive waste. If they weren't, landfills couldn't take them, and leachate would have to go to specialized treatment plants that can handle hazardous waste.
Matt Richmond reports for WSKG and the Allegheny Press.
Yeah, hi there. Bill Clinton here. Can you get me Newt Gingrich, please? Hey, Newt, how you doing? Good to hear you. It's Bill. Clinton. Now, look, Newt, one of my New Year's resolutions is to kind of make up with you about that little Air Force One incident. I mean, I did not mean to hurt your feelings. I honestly did not know that the flight attendant was going to announce that in case of a water landing, you could be used as a flotation device. But hey, Newt, could you keep your mouth in the full upright and locked position, please? I just got back from Tel Aviv. Air Force One is in let's leave. Everybody off the plane, first me and then Al Gore. Wait, I hear a child fuss. Is it Chelsea or Stephanopoulos? No, it's Newt, Newt, Newt going out my back door.
Coming up next, Americans are grumpy about the economic recovery. Scott Horsley reports that 2 out of 3 Americans felt no improvement in the last year. Only about 1 in 4 expect things to get better in the year to come.
The American labor force is not all that happy. There are various signs that the U.S. economy is on the mend, but a new survey from Rutgers University found 2 of 3 Americans have felt no improvement over the last year, and only about 1 in 4 expect things to get better in the year to come. Here's NPR's Scott Horsley.
President Obama spent much of the summer playing cheerleader for the U.S. economy, and if you look at the economic indicators, there's a lot to cheer about. Private employers have added nearly 10 million jobs in recent years. Unemployment has fallen to just above 6%. Auto sales are booming, and forecasters expect a healthy back-to-school shopping season.
By almost every measure, we are better off now than we were when I took office.
So why are so many Americans in such a grumpy mood about the economy? Just ask Robert Stovkin, a car salesman from West Virginia. While auto sales have bounced back from the depths of the downturn, Stovkin says his personal fortunes have never fully recovered.
In the last 6 years, I've switched jobs 3 times, and I'm making more money than I did 3 years ago, not as much as I did 6 years ago.
What's more, Stovkin worries the economy won't be much better by the time his high school-aged daughter enters the job market a few years from now.
She's going to go to college and get a degree in something that she probably is not going to be able to get a job in. You know, I want her to follow her dreams, but I don't think the dreams are going to be a good paying job.
Stovkin is one of more than 1,100 people nationwide who were surveyed by Rutgers University about how they'd been affected by the recession and its aftermath. Researcher Cliff Zukin says 42% of those polled are still worse off than when the recession began, while only 1/3 came through the downturn unscathed.
What you're seeing here is, despite outside numbers, the quality of people's lives has not gotten better, and they don't expect to get better.
Another survey respondent, Nina, is a college student in New Jersey who's studying to be a special ed teacher. Her mother always told her that a college degree would be her ticket to economic success. But Nina's watched her older brother struggle to find work. At age 30, he's still living at home.
The amount of money that you're making when you're working doesn't equal up to being able to support yourself. You know, maybe go to the movies, go out to eat once. I don't think it's supporting that.
While the recession officially ended years ago, Zukin says it continues to cast a long shadow over people's attitudes, one that's grown darker with the passage of time. Even 5 years ago, when the unemployment rate was near 10%, most Americans thought the effects of the downturn would be short-lived. Today, after a painfully slow recovery, 71% of those surveyed have come to see the damage as permanent.
There's just such a deep sense of pessimism and malaise in the country, and we really do have a very different political, social, and economic culture coming out of the recession, or not coming out of the recession, than we did before it started.
When President Obama began his second term a year and a half ago, there was still some hope the federal government might be able to address such challenges. Today, only about one in five Americans has any confidence in government's ability to act. One might expect that would hurt the Democrats in the upcoming midterm elections, but the Rutgers survey found even less faith in giving congressional Republicans control of the economy. Stovkin, the West Virginia car salesman, is doubtful the U.S. economy will ever return to the kind of broad-based prosperity that Americans once took for granted.
There was an American dream where the middle class was happy to be the middle class. You still had rich people and poor people, but nowadays there's not going to be a middle class. Going to be those that have and those that have not.
Just yesterday, the S&P 500 stock index closed at a new record high, but only about one in seven people Rutgers surveyed was cheered by that. Most said the stock market has little bearing on their family's finances. Scott Horsley, NPR News.
We who are the spirits of the revolution, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who are the spirits of the revolution, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who are coming to understand more of the horrors, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who are indelibly bourgeois and refuse to be so are increasingly aware. We who are unleashing powers move toward life. We who experience tragedy in the unending cycles of destruction. We who gamble with our lives. We who are the spirits of the revolution. We will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who are the spirits of the revolution. We will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who believe in the flowering of freedom, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who are thirsty for greater knowledge, we who walk the night this side of desperation, we who are thirsty and looking for better ways to proceed, we who tremble then proceed. We who are the spirits of the revolution, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who are the spirits of the revolution, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who are wise enough to continue learning, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who find brothers and sisters in the struggling peoples of this earth, we who are coming to understand more of the mysteries, we who are coming to see more of the reality, we who have met the beast within ourselves, we who are the spirits of the revolution, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who are the spirits of the revolution, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who are able to go beyond our anger, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who are able to go beyond our awe, we who are not content to admit despair, we who care, we who burn, we who struggle with the knowledge that the path is long. We who are the spirit of the revolution, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who are the spirits of the revolution, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We whose radiance is a wonder in life, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We whose anger cannot be conquered, we whose love cannot be bound, we who are singers of the new morning, we whose tears have freely flowed, we who are the spirits of the revolution, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who are the spirits of the revolution, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who have come to understand something of the horrors, we will not fit in, we will not give in. We who are indelibly bourgeois and refuse to be so are increasingly aware. We who are unleashing powers within ourselves move toward life. We who experience tragedy in the as yet unending cycles of destruction. We who gamble with our lives. We who are the spirits of the revolution, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We who are the spirits of the revolution, we will not fit in, and we will not give in. We will not fit in, and we will not give in.
Germany was having trouble, what a sad, sad story. Needed a new leader to restore its former glory. Where, oh, where was he?
Where could that man be?
We looked around, and then we found the man for you and me. And now it's
springtime for Hitler and Germany. Deutschland is happy and gay.
We're marching to a faster pace. Look out, here comes the master race.
Springtime for Hitler and Germany.
Winter for Poland and France.
Springtime for Hitler and Germany. Come on, Germans, go into your dance.
I was born in Dusseldorf, and that is why they call me Rolf.
Don't be stupid, be a smarty. Come and join the Nazi party.
We'll be right back.
That's all, folks.